The Houston Rockets tonight, and Andrew Feinstein is our guest joining us from DenverStiffs.com. Hey, by the way, Andrew, today is the 50th anniversary of Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I don't think any of us were around to watch that one, but 50 years. It took place in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, let's see here. First quarter, 23 points. Second quarter, 18 points. Third quarter, 28 points. And then he dropped 31 in the fourth.
Amazing about that game, too, is I believe Wilt was – this is going to show you what a NBA dork I am. I believe Wilt was 28 of 32 from the free throw line. And Wilt Chamberlain was basically the Dwight Howard or the Shaquille O'Neal of his day in terms of shooting free throws, meaning he shot them poorly. And it was amazing that he made so many free throws that night as well.
All right, let's talk about making free throws. Let's talk about hitting from the charity stripe. Nuggets have done pretty good at that. And I'll tell you one person who I think has raised some eyes is how well he has shot his free throws is Kenneth Faried. I mean, he was like in the 70s in college. And I take it back. I think he was in the 60s in college. He's hitting about 75% of his free throws right now.
Yeah, a little less than that, but for a rookie who's a power forward who doesn't have a lot of touch, I think that we'll take 70%. And Kenneth Faried's been doing a lot of things well. And I know our readers at DenverStiffs.com, they've been clamoring for this kid to play, and you never want to see anybody get hurt. But with Nene missing all these games, it has opened the door for Faried to show what he can do, and I think the fans are really happy with him.
Andrew, obviously they're at Houston, and in a couple of days they're at San Antonio, and then we all know what lies ahead.
Right.
9-game homestand, and clearly this is a team that for whatever reason has struggled at home. The mental state of this team playing home games, because that's going to determine that they got to win, give me a number, 7 of those 9, something like 6 of those 9.
Oh, when you got Cleveland coming to town and Sacramento, I mean, those are expected wins.
You go 5-4 in that stretch, you're not making the playoffs, right?
No, I agree. There's 4 games in the home stretch that are going to be challenging. They get the Grizzlies, the Thunder, the Celtics, and the Mavericks. And I don't know if any of those teams will be on back-to-backs. But the Nuggets what was frustrating about the Nuggets' losses at home, that certainly the ones I've attended this year, was they didn't even play Nuggets basketball in those losses. They somehow allowed their opposing team to come into Denver and dictate the pace. And I don't care who's on the floor for the Nuggets. I don't care what lineup combination George Karl throws out there. They have to play at the Nuggets pace. They have to run these teams out of the building. And if you are aggressive, if you are taking the ball to the rack, good things happen. And the Nuggets have got to stop shooting jump shots, stop settling for three-pointers, and just get that ball to the rack, play at a high pace, and they'll be fine at home. But they need to believe that, and they need to do that.
By the way, they'll be fine also in Houston. They're not a team that plays very well in the paint. Andrew Feinstein is our guest from DenverStiffs.com. Everything you need to know Nuggets-wise, that is definitely your destination you need to go to. Andrew, let's talk a little bit about the trade deadline, which is getting here very, very quickly. Chris Anderson. You wrote an interesting piece on Chris Anderson. Your golden nugget, to trade or not to trade. Do you think Chris Anderson's going to be on this Nuggets team here come 2 weeks from now?
Well, I think he will be because I'm not sure who would take him, but that doesn't mean he should be. And I don't mean to disparage the Birdman. I think we've all enjoyed the run we've had with him here, but he's I think his run is over. He's clearly lost a step, and when your entire game is based on your leaping ability and your ability to sneak a block here or there or wreak havoc on the floor, the Nuggets don't need that guy right now. We have him. His name is Kenneth Faried, and I think we're getting great minutes out of Kufos. We're getting very good minutes out of Mozgov. And we just don't need Birdman anymore. And it looks like his spirit has been broken. And I don't know if there's a team out there where he can instantaneously improve them. But if there's an opportunity to move the Birdman, even though he's a fan favorite and one of my favorites, I think it's probably time to part ways.
Yeah, it's always kind of painful, guys, when you look at a player and you just sense that he knows he's not the player he used to be.
Plus, he makes too much money.
Well, guys, isn't this interesting, though? And, Jim, we've seen this forever, but isn't this interesting? You know, and I'm guilty of this because I advocated on the blog for Birdman to be re-signed and to be re-signed for several million dollars. But when Birdman had that awesome season, 2008, 2009, he was playing on a $900,000 contract. Now, that's a lot of money to guys like you and me, but for an NBA player, that wasn't a lot of money. And I think that there was a certain gear that he was able to get to, knowing that he was desperate for that next contract. And as soon as he got the contract, that gear just disappeared. And he hasn't had it since. And it's just been very frustrating to watch that.
Wilson Chandler. Wilson Chandler, yesterday was the deadline. Nobody came a-calling. No one offered him that deal. Masai wants to sign him to a multi-year deal. I think he wants to go out and test the market. What do you think is the end game with Wilson Chandler and the Denver Nuggets?
I don't know. I'm kind of befuddled by this whole situation. I believe that it was a slam dunk that he'd be back in a Nuggets uniform, and now it doesn't seem to be the case. And I don't know if it's because Wilson wants to go somewhere where he's going to get more minutes and have more of an impact. I mean, here in Denver, he's going to be one of 10 guys, and I'm not even sure, you know, exactly where he fits in right away. Does he supplant a Flalo in the starting lineup? Does he start taking away these minutes that Fareed is getting or that Corey Brewer is getting? So I'm not sure where Wilson Chandler is going to fit in, but I like Wilson Chandler. I like having a guy that can guard the 2, the 3, or even the 4 spot sometimes if you need to. And I'd like to see him back, but, you know, the Nuggets have been bitten a little bit by paying handsomely for Nene and Aflalo to come back, and I think they need to be a little hesitant on doing the same thing with Chandler.
Andrew, your best educated guess here, okay? I mean, Gallinari, A, when he returns, just a ballpark figure, and B, how much concern is there on the part of the Nuggets about how long it's going to take him to become Gallinari again? He doesn't just step right back in playing 37 minutes a night at an all-star level. That's not going to happen.
No, and knowing the Nuggets as I do, my gut feel is they're going to try to leave him out of that Kings, Cavaliers, Hornets threesome that's coming in next week, try to win those games without him, and then maybe he comes back on the 11th when the Grizzlies are here, when the games start getting a little more competitive, because that's when we're really going to need him. But you're right, we can't put him out there for 37 minutes right away. And as much as I love Gallo, I think we've all realized how valuable Gallo is. I mean, basically when he went out, the Nuggets just plummeted in the standings. But he doesn't have good footwork, and he needs to get that ankle right. He's a little bit of a klutz out there, so he's not the guy that you want to rush back from a nasty ankle injury.
But do you think that it's possible to, if he does come back as early as Monday night against the Sacramento Kings, those first couple of games would be nice little tune-ups to at least knock a little bit of the rust off before you do start facing some of the tougher teams like the Memphis Grizzlies?
Well, that's a good point, JoJo, for sure. And I think that if, like I said, if he's ready to go, you're right. You might as well tune him up against the Kings and the Cavaliers, right? And instead of throwing him to the Wolves when the Grizzlies come to town. But I'm telling you guys, Gallinari, if he has one weakness, I think it's his footwork. And I just think that he's got to be right. His ankle's got to be right before we bring him back.
All right, Andrew, let's go ahead and make an executive. We're very important men, right? Let's make an executive decision. All right, Dwight Howard will be traded before the trading deadline. All right, there you go. So give us the name of the second biggest name player in the NBA who's going to get traded.
I'm not sure Dwight Howard's going to be traded. I think Otis.
Yeah, you know, I actually agree.
Jim just traded him, Andrew.
I know, former Nugget, former dunk contest participant, Otis Smith. I don't think he's going to do it. I think he's going to play poker with Howard until the end of the year. And the Magic, we'll get to the next name in a second, but the Magic have no incentive to trade him because they can always do a sign and trade in the offseason. So I don't see why there's this pressure to trade him now. They can sign and trade him and he can get his 5-year contract. As far as the next name to go, I think it's going to have to be Monte Ellis. I think that Monte Ellis, whether he goes to the Magic to play with Dwight Howard or not, is just not a good fit in Golden State with Stephen Curry. And if you're a believer, as I am, that Stephen Curry is more valuable for the long run, I think the Warriors need to move Monte Ellis. And then the third name, we guess, would be Rajon Rondo.
You think anything happens with Williams in New Jersey before the season's over? Or do you think that...
Ooh.
I mean, because there's another name that, you know, Deron Williams, if they do not get Dwight Howard in New Jersey, Williams is going to bolt.
Yeah, they might as well start figuring out what number he's going to wear in Dallas now, because that's where he's heading, whether he gets traded to Dallas now or in the offseason. The thing is, the Mavericks don't really have a lot to offer. That's a real tough one. The Nets really stuck their neck out to get him, and I'm not sure Deron Williams has the appreciation for what's going to be happening in Brooklyn next year, like some guys are going to have. I, for one, would be ecstatic to play for Prokhorov, and we'd be thrilled to play in Brooklyn, but I don't think Deron Williams cares. He's a Texas guy, and I think he's heading to the Mavericks.
Wow, and Cuban has got to be his mouth's got to be watering like nobody's business to get him.
Oh, yeah, he'll do whatever it takes, for sure.
You know, Andrew, it is absolutely amazing to me. About, what, five weeks ago, the storyline and the discussion on the Nuggets compared to today, it just seems like all the steam is gone for the season. Knowing what you know about their state of mind and their injury situation, I mean, how tough is this going to be? Have you basically written this season off? How tough is it going to be to entertain any notion that this team can make the playoffs?
They're making the playoffs, okay? You heard it here first. I'm sure people have also guaranteed
that. I think they're going to make the playoffs,
too. They're making the playoffs. But
really?
When the season started, and I'm not the prophet here, but when the season started, I said the Nuggets would be a sixth seed. And what happened was the Nuggets played so well out of the gate. I believe they were 14-5 at one point. They played so well out of the gate that fans here in Denver had these delusions of conference finals and maybe even more than that, which was probably unfair to the Nuggets. I think they exceeded expectations so early. They've woefully underachieved in February. And I think March is where you're going to find the balance, and you're going to see the Nuggets be exactly where I said they were going to be in November, which is a sixth seed.
You heard it here first. Andrew Feinstein, DenverStiffs.com for all of your Nuggets news. Andrew, we always appreciate it, bud. It's always good to catch up.
Gentlemen, anytime, stay warm and enjoy the game tonight.
Absolutely. Log on, DenverStiffs.com. Great Nuggets insight there, and he does a great job.